This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to the new Mutual Audio Network. Welcome home.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
I'm here walking down the country road in the Tortoise of the Sonic Society 815, the world's largest and longest-running showcase of modern audio drama, with my co-host and friend, David Ault.
Well, it would seem strange for us to be in the countryside while still in the Tortoise, but that's the benefit of transdimensional conduits. We find ourselves in places we never expected, like today's show, part two of Summer 1998, Meet Cute. And once we get through that section, we're on to Curious Matters Shambler from the Stars.
But rather full time, if you ask me.
Well, yes, and if you're ready, they both begin right here.
On the Sonic Society.
Snapple iced teas for everyone.
Thank goodness. I am literally dying. So, Val, give me the skinny on everything with you and Blaine.
Well, we saw An Affair to Remember in Bryant Park last night. He brought a picnic dinner with all these different cheeses and wine.
You had wine in public?
And then you went back to his place, put on some Sade, lit candles.
No, I went home.
Went home? Have you completely forgotten the entire point of our summer conquest?
Take a chill pill, Nat. We've only been dating a few weeks. Give me some time. I think I might like the guy.
Ooh.
All right. What about you? How far have you gotten with Victor Thomas?
Oh, he's all, Natalie, let me take you to Pastis, a night at the Soho Grand. And I'm all, I would, Victor, but I'm just so busy with my writing. Playing hard to get always helps seal the deal.
That makes zero sense, but okay.
Props for a strategy, Izzy. How close have you gotten to losing your virginity?
I tried macking it to a few guys. You know, getting Izzy with it. I just don't think there's anyone out there for me.
This coming from the girl whose parents have the most romantic story ever.
That doesn't mean I inherited some golden ticket to the love factory.
It certainly does. Your parents reunited after a decade of separation. That's unheard of in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Izzy, you home?
That's my mom's. You guys gotta bounce.
Really? Why?
There's just a lot going on at her office, and she's been wigging out lately. I'll meet you guys later.
Fine. Whatever. Let's go, Val.
Where are Natalie and Val going?
They both have hot dates to get ready for. You know.
Wow. You kids grow up so fast.
So, how'd it go at the rental office?
I'm moving in at the end of the month.
Oh.
Izzy, I'm sorry this whole thing with your dad didn't work out. But I want you to know I did try.
Don't worry, Mom. I'm not bugging. I'm used to you guys apart. It's like things are going back to normal.
Right. Where are you going?
Just out. I'll have my pager on. Beat me. Boobless! Just joshing you, Moms.
Oh, Izzy.
Hey, what's cooking, home skillet?
Hi. Sorry, do I know you?
In the biblical sense? Not yet. But you could if you wanted to.
What are you, 13?
No. Try 20, dude.
I don't really think so.
Psych! No, but really, I'm 16, not 13. Age of consent, baby!
Oh my God, you're punking me, aren't you? Am I on candid camera?
What?
I cannot be photographed without a union contract, do you understand? Expect a very angry call from my agent.
Hey, no, wait! You forgot your Smirnoff Ice? Ew.
College? Really? I thought for sure someone fine as you had to be a supermodel.
Not really my bag, but thanks, man.
Aura Tomlin?
Girl, you could be the next Kate Moss. For real.
Yeah, but I like to eat food.
So. You're funny. I like that. You want to get out of here? Get a drink or something?
I came to the park because I wanted to enjoy the park, but I guess...
Ah!
What?
So that's how it's done.
Who are you?
From one player to another? Mad props.
Were you listening to me?
Been having a little trouble with my game lately, but you got this shit down. The way you lead with pure physical objectification? Masterful.
You know this girl?
Yeah, I think I do.
This is stupid.
What's stupid is, I was straight up asking for sex. But pretending you're actually feeling the person? Considered me schooled, bro.
I'm out. You two deserve each other. Peace.
Later, dude.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
That was awesome. I owe you one.
Yeah, no problem.
You go to my school. Izzy Bronstein.
Aura Tomlin knows my name?
You're cute. You're the one whose parents got back together after being divorced for like 10 years or something, right?
Yep. That's me.
Legendary.
Legendary? No. You're legendary. My parents are just mad and indecisive. Well, now that you're solid, I'll just leave you to your thoughts.
No. Wait. You want to hang out?
Hang out? With me?
No, with that scrub you just roasted. Yeah, you. I was gonna head to Search and Destroy for some college clothes. Wanna come?
Hang out with Aura Tomlin? Yeah, I think I'll hang out with Aura Tomlin.
Let's bounce. Okay, what about this?
Ah, a sundress. For a small child.
It's called a baby doll dress.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Because a baby doll would look great in that.
Why didn't we ever hang out before?
Probably because you're a senior with a perfect Rachel cut who throws parties at her Soho loft. And I'm a sophomore with a hard-on for Mario Kart. You don't know what Mario Kart is, do you?
No, I don't. But like, what is cool, really? I just hang out with who I like.
Word. Wish that's what my friends thought.
Those girls who were at my party?
Yeah, they're chill, but they're all about dating popular guys and who we sit with at lunch. I just want to have sleepovers and laugh our faces off like we used to.
And play Mario Kart.
See? You get me.
I think I do.
Aura Tomlin gets me. That's seriously wild.
As wild as the fact that you're wearing a Kangol and a baggy thermal in June.
Hey!
Don't worry, I'm not gonna gank your sweaty hat. I just wanna see what you look like.
It's kind of frizzy.
No, it's got body. Here, try this out.
A crop top?
Yeah, skater pants. It'd be hot.
Well, if Aura Tomlin says it'll be hot.
Quit it with the Aura Tomlin stuff.
Sorry. I must have said your name 100 times now.
No. I mean the whole I'm so popular thing. I like it when you say my name.
You do?
Look in the mirror. See how fly you are? Rocking some abs, too.
I kind of am.
You said your friends are all about dating cool guys, but is that your thing, too?
Cool? No. I'm an equal opportunity employer. 3 feet tall with antlers? I'm all about it.
Izzy, stop. You're making me sad.
You? Think how it makes me feel. On the upside, I'm a great wingman. If you're trying to get a little something-something before you go off to college.
Could be. But you could also be a cop block.
For who?
Girls. I'm into girls.
Oh, so you're
queer as a football bat.
Wow. Just when I thought Aura Tomlin couldn't get any cooler. This is the shiz! What's this called again?
I can't believe you've never had a samosa before.
I was raised by Jews from New Jersey. The fact that I'm even in an Indian restaurant is meshuggah.
Glad I could pop your cherry.
Yeah.
Here, now try this.
Wait, what is that?
A Pam. It's kind of like a pancake.
Bread. Yeah, I get that. But what are you dipping it in?
I'm making sure you get the perfect bite.
Of what?
Just trust me. Aura Tomlin wouldn't steer you wrong. No, stop. It'll fall apart. Let me feed it to you.
Mmm.
See?
I'm never leaving this place.
Izzy, have you ever actually been with a guy?
Is it that obvious?
Then how do you know you actually like guys?
I mean, is the grass green? Is a samosa freaking delicious?
Okay, sure. I just have pretty good gaydar and you seem kinda, no?
You're saying I'm gay?
No. You are what you are. I just feel like there's chemistry here and...
Chemistry? I don't...
I'm feeling you, Izzy. And I could be wrong, but... Seems like you're kind of feeling me, too.
Aura Tomlin is feeling me? Is this Mars? I feel like my brain just exploded. Wait, is that why you wanted to hang out?
Yeah. Isn't that what you do when you think you might like someone? Hang out with them?
Yeah. I didn't...
Izzy, relax. My bad. It's just the way you dress, the way you talk, your whole vibe. I just assumed you were...
Well, I'm not, okay? Not that I have anything against it. Being gay is sick. Crap. I meant sick. In the good way, not the...
I know.
It's just not my thing.
Being gay doesn't have to be a thing, you know? You don't have to start wearing Doc Martens and flannels and hating on dudes. I could just be your thing. And you could be mine. Being gay or bi is about who you love. Not about changing who you are.
Yeah. I hear that.
Izzy, what are you doing?
How much was my food? Do you know?
What's wrong?
Here's 20 bones. I gotta bounce.
Izzy, don't. It's cool. Can I get the check, please?
Yay! I won. Again.
Izzy, there's another message on the machine from Val and Natalie.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're starting to worry.
About what?
You haven't left the house, and you're clearly not returning their calls.
Been busy.
Okay, that's it.
Hey! Why are you wigging out?
Because you've been sulking around the apartment for weeks, and I want to know why.
This is so whack!
No, what's whack is you telling me you're fine with your father and I splitting up again, and then refusing to even look at me since I signed the lease on a new place. You have every right to be mad, but at least have the guts to talk to me about it.
I'm not mad at you!
Well, then what is it, Izzy?
I'm sad, okay? I'm just really sad.
Okay. Things are gonna change, but your dad and I love you so much.
It's not that, Mom. I'm fine with change.
But?
But when you guys got back together, it was this huge romantic thing. Everyone was talking about it. It's one thing for people to get together once, but twice? It made me think true love was real, you know? That there's someone out there we're destined to be with. That's not true, is it?
Your father and I aren't destined to be together, no.
That doesn't mean love isn't real.
But how could love be real if it fails?
Because love isn't necessarily all in one place. I don't know. I mean, love is about taking chances, right? And sometimes that means our feelings change.
So true love could be anywhere?
I guess, yeah. And if it doesn't last a lifetime, it doesn't mean you failed or that it wasn't real. It means that you followed your heart, and that's the most important thing that you can do.
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, baby.
Damn, girl.
Want to roll to my crib and see what's up?
Yo, you gotta step off. Izzy.
Gotcha.
Nice crop top.
Yeah, I decided they're kind of my thing.
Oh, really?
And I know you're probably pissed at me, but...
Yeah?
Oi. Big words. Big words here.
Spit it out, Iz.
I think maybe you could kind of be my thing, too.
Maybe.
Okay, definitely. So, think we can try that whole dinner thing again, but, like, as an official date?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah! Woo-hoo!
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Introducing the first ever Mazda CX-70, our largest two-row SUV, available as a mild hybrid inline six turbo or as a plug-in hybrid. Crafted to move every part of you.
Welcome to the first episode of the Curious Matter Anthology. I'm Jonathan Pezzi, your host and the writer-creator of this show. Like you, I'm completely addicted to podcasts, but my love of audio dramas started way before the likes of Homecoming, Limetown, and Blackout. It started for me a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when at the age of 10 I found an odd, worn-out, and coffee-stained black box with crumpled corners and scotch-taped seams. It was sitting innocuously in a pile of thrown-away toys and broken electronics at a local garage sale. But this box was something different, something special. It had a gold foil hologram title that read, Star Wars: The Original Radio Drama. Those 13 episodes printed on 6 clear plastic audio cassettes changed my life forever. For those who don't know, the Star Wars radio drama was originally produced by NPR in conjunction with BBC Radio in 1981. It's available now as, well, as a podcast, as it happens. And look, I had, of course, seen Star Wars, but listening to that 5-hour and 57-minute version of the space opera blew my young mind. It was this epic experience in sound. Even coming through the shitty headphones of my yellow Sony Walkman, it transported me to the landscapes of Tatooine and into the halls of the Millennium Falcon and put me right in the pilot seat of Luke's X-Wing as we did our best to stay on target. It had a visual clarity that no special effect, not even the ones created by ILM, could match. Needless to say, I wore those tapes out. I realized not too long ago while listening to one of my favorite scripted podcasts that the Star Wars radio drama was the spark that started it all for me. That started my love of genre storytelling. Well, let's be honest, it's an obsession. By genre, I mean science fiction, supernatural horror, and fantasy. I call them the what-if genres because they live by that single conceit. Time travel, elves, demigods, sentient robots, space pirates. Anything is possible if you simply ask, what if? Heinlein, Le Guin, Tolkien, King, Lovecraft, Asimov, Matheson, and of course Lucas, the list goes on and on. These people taught me that the only limitation in life is the scale of your imagination. In honor of Halloween, we are diving headfirst into the realms of supernatural horror with our very first episode, Shambler from the Stars. It's an early tale from legendary author Robert Bloch. Now, Bloch is most famous for his novels American Gothic and Psycho, which became the basis for the Alfred Hitchcock film, and more recently, Bates Motel. I know, show canceled too early. Long before he had the idea for that creepy hotel on the highway, this very young, very green 18-year-old Robert Bloch created a tale inspired by his pen pal and mentor, H.P. Lovecraft. If you don't know who Lovecraft is, just Google Cthulhu and prepare to be amazed. That's spelled C-T-H-U-L-H-U, I think. Anyway, all you I Heart Norman Bates fans, you can thank Lovecraft because he's the one who encouraged Bloch to write professionally. Okay, so here we go. First published in the September 1935 issue of Weird Tales, our story follows a young, aspiring writer, much like Bloch himself. So turn up the volume and turn out the lights, sit back and enjoy Shambler from the Stars. The Journal of Robert Blake, April 5th, 1933.
Ticket? Tickets, please.
I am finally what I profess to be, a writer of weird fiction. As far back as I can remember, I've been enthralled and fascinated by the unknown. I have walked the midnight paths with Poe and combed the realms of horrific stars with Baudelaire. But most of all, I relish the delight and madness found in tales of ancient lore.
Tickets, sir?
Yes. Here you go.
Final destination for you?
I'm bound for Providence to see a friend. Well, a correspondence, an acquaintance, really.
Very good, sir. Enjoy your travels.
A man must live, and I am by my nature both physically and spiritually unfit for manual labor. And for a time, I was close to utter economic disaster. It was then I decided to write. I procured a battered typewriter and a ream of cheap paper, and a few carbons. I would write of horror, fear, and the riddle that is death. Because, why not? At least, that was my intention. My vivid dreams became on paper jumbles of ponderous adjectives. Slowly but surely, I adjusted my ideas and began to master the more obvious tricks of the trade. At last, one of my stories finally met with favor. Then a second, a third, a fourth. My stories afforded me a somewhat meager livelihood, and for a time that sufficed, but not for long. Vampires, werewolves, ghouls, and mythological monsters, these were things of little merit. I wanted to create something real. Not just the ephemeral pulp I turned out for the magazines. The creation of such a masterpiece has become my crusade. I long to learn the songs the demons sing as they swoop between the stars. Then I could write something of value. And so I began searching for the isolated thinkers, people who shun the light and search for lost wisdom in the lonely places of the world. I was like a baby fumbling in the dark, but by mere happenstance, a letter arrived at my home. It was in response to an ad I desperately placed in the back of a pulp magazine. The letter's author was a mystic dreamer from New England by the name of Randolph Carter. Randolph was a writer of notable brilliance and wide reputation among the discriminating few. An avid scholar who learned many strange things as a boy in witch-haunted Arkham. It was from him that I learned of the ancient books and strange lore that made necessary this journey from my home in Wisconsin. And it's towards him that this train slowly carries me.
Poughkeepsie. Next station, Poughkeepsie.
He guardedly shared snippets he had uncovered, Our letters traveled back and forth with such velocity that there was rarely a week where we did not hear from each other. After many months, he finally consented to send me the key to my endeavor, for in his research, he alone had collected a secret record of places and personages that might have the knowledge I seek. So armed with Randolph's list, I set off like Galahad in search of my grail.
I can be no help in your endeavors.
Are you mad?
Do not.
Heretic!
Beware of the strange lands you seek. There is only madness and death on this hand.
Dare you deem to inquire things beyond your reckoning? The person you seek is dead, and so will be any who follow in his footsteps.
Denials, evasions, refusals. Hello?
Is this Robert Blake of 620 East Knapp Street, Milwaukee?
Speaking, who is this?
We know you, Mr. Blake. We know where you live. If you value your sanity, your life, the lives of all you love, you will forget you ever heard the name Dagon.
Evidently, the alleged possessors of such lore were angered that their secret should be thus unveiled by a prying stranger. But after months of failure and dead ends, Lady Luck finally turned her attention. Is this Satrat Books? The ad referred me to South Dearborn Street, but there wasn't a sign.
Welcome to Satrap and Farnabas's Rare and Antique Books and Manuscripts. Is there anything I can assist you with, young man?
Yes, actually. I'm looking for a rather narrow spectrum of hard-to-find prints. I was told your store specializes in tomes of an occult nature.
We have been known to carry the odd collection of this and that. Do you have something specific in mind?
Would you by any chance have a copy of a book called The Necronomicon? I'm not sure how to pronounce this right. A. Al-Azred.
Sorry, not a title I'm familiar with.
Okay. How about Francois Honor Belfort's Cult de Ghoul? Or the Liber Ivonis? Perhaps its English translation?
Never heard of them. Are you sure someone isn't having a go with you?
No, yeah, perhaps you're right. I'm sorry to bother you. Do you mind if I just peruse the shelves?
Have at them. Let me know if you find anything interesting.
Aristotle, Julius Caesar, Dante, Shakespeare. Shakespeare again. He's clearly not selling as well as he used to. What's this? Iron bindings? Clasp too. The inscription on the cover looks like it was painted by hand. Faded, hard to read. Let me see here. Der Vermis Mysteries. The Mysteries of the Worm. Let's just crack you open and take a look. Latin. Oh, my worst subject. No pictures. What's this? Passages in some sort of hieroglyph or rune. Translata et analibus traditum permanus enim Ludwig Print? Why do I know that name? Burned at the stake, I believe. Whoa. What a find. Sir?
Ah, you found something. Look at that.
Yeah, this one. Are you familiar with it? Where did you acquire it?
The Vermis Mysteries. Worms? About angling, I suspect. Bought it in an estate sale, I seem to recall. Owner died suddenly or some such. Got the whole lot for steal. You interested in fishing, are you?
How much for it?
How about call it a dollar? I should really be charging you too, but seeing as you came all the way out here on a prank, I'm feeling pitiful.
Done. Here you go.
I'll ring it right up.
Wait! I'll unwrap that for you!
I addressed a hasty letter to my friend in Providence that very day. Could this book be the very thing I was looking for? I waited with bated breath for his response.
Dear Robert, thank you for your recent letter praising me of your find, and if it is genuine, then what a find it is. From your words, I uncover that you have a little familiarity with Ludwig Prynne, but in the interest of presenting the information as I have it, below I have included a brief history of the man and his exploits. Prynne perished at the stake in Brussels when the witch trials were at their height. A strange character, to be sure. Alchemist, necromancer, reputed mage. He boasted having attained a miraculous age when he at last met his fiery end. He was said to have proclaimed himself the sole survivor of the ill-fated Ninth Crusade. And indeed, there was a knight in the lists of that name. Ludwig attributed his sorcerous learning to the years he had spent as a captive among the wizards and wonderworkers of Syria. During his captivity, he claimed to have encountered jinns and ifrits of elder Eastern myth. At any rate, his declining years were spent residing secluded in a forest near Brussels, the country of his birth. Manuscripts still in existence speak of devil worship and accounts that he was attended by familiars and invisible companions. Peasants shunned the forest, claiming that hellish things ambled in the shadows and loosed bone-chilling eldritch cries at the moon. Take what you will from that, but there was no mention of the creatures on record after Prynne's capture. It was in their prison, while awaiting trial, that he penned De Vermis Mysterious. How it was ever smuggled past the guards is a mystery in itself. But a year after his death, it saw print in Cologne. It was immediately suppressed, but a few copies slipped through the Inquisition's fingers and were secretly circulated. Imitations and fakes have come to light over the years in an attempt to, part gullible enthusiasts from their wallets. Only the Latin original is accepted as genuine, and, of those, only a handful exist. The secrets of the old Archmage have been held tight by a select initiated few. To conclude, I will add this. I think it is important to proceed with care, Mr. Carter. If this tome is indeed authentic, as you claim, there may be unforeseen and inescapable consequences in unlocking the secrets held within. As a scholar of such things, one parable has banged its drum time and time again in my many years of study. Arcane knowledge always exacts its price. With some things, it's not good to learn too much. You must travel to Providence at once and stay as a guest in my home. Here, we may endeavor to ascertain the authenticity of Prynne's lost grimoire, and together, we shall determine the next steps. I will await your arrival. Most sincerely, your friend, Randolph Carter.
Salut, c'est Marc Dupré. On me demande souvent pourquoi l'événement camion de GMC, c'est le moment idéal pour acheter, entre autres, un Sierra 1500 2024. C'est simple. C'était l'événement barbecue. Ben, t'achèterais un barbecue. C'était l'événement adopte un chaton. T'adopterais un chaton. Yeah! Pis c'était l'événement j'installe des néons en dessous de mon auto. Ben là, j'y penserais deux fois.
Pendant l'événement camion de GMC, obtenez 6 500 $ de crédit à l'achat au comptant sur certains Sierra 1500 2024 sélectionnés. Les conditions s'appliquent. Détails à offre-gmc.ca.
Memorial Day weekend is just around the corner. And there's no better way to kick off summer than with a trip to New Hampshire. Whether you're looking for an adventure on some of the highest peaks in the Northeast, shopping and dining along the seacoast, or relaxing by crystal clear lakes, you can take in all New Hampshire has to offer this summer. Head to visit nh.gov for information and inspiration to get started.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton.
Spring is a great time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or an outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.ca.
Coming up on Providence Station, disembark here for Providence.
Mr. Carter? I do hope I have the right address.
Robert, welcome. You have it with you? On your person?
Nice to finally make your true acquaintance. I do not recommend long journeys by rail. A plague on the back.
Prin's book.
Yes, why yes, I have it right here. Safely stowed in my case.
Let's get you inside. It's not good to linger in public long with such things in hand.
Nothing rejuvenates the Constitution like a bath and a meal. Thank you for your hospitality.
You're quite welcome. No one should attempt to plumb the Cyclopean depths on an empty stomach.
Then without further delay, I shall produce the article of interest.
Ah, intricate scrollwork. Beautiful. Beautiful. The binding is iron. The raised bands appear to be something else, though. Lead, perhaps. Curious. Vellum. Not rag or pulp. That's good. That's very good. Ha. Strong odor.
I noticed that.
The sewing tape, see here? Maggot-ridden. And the edge eaten away. Perhaps by rats.
Is that a good thing?
Well, if this is a forgery, it's old. Very old.
I knew the moment I saw it on the shelf that this one was a prodigious find.
And these runes, not Germanic. Sumerian, Rylean. I need a moment.
May I peruse the shelves while you ponder?
Mm-hmm.
This is quite the collection. Ars Magna Ultima, Atlantis and the Lost Lemuria. Remy's Demonolatry? In English? Never even heard of the Yellow King.
No. Perhaps. Wait.
Are you cold? You must put on a sweater. You're trembling.
These are incantations.
So it's genuine.
I believe this to be the sum of Prin's revelations.
A treasure trove.
This is evil knowledge. Who's to say what demon-dreaded lore these pages contain?
This is exactly what I've been looking for. Something real. Something really real.
You are young. Seek inspiration on safer shores. Exercising the rotten wisdom that texts like this contain is dangerous. Very dangerous.
But worth it. Have you ever come across anything this revelatory? This close to the source? You said it yourself. The man called forth spirits and claimed to be 350 years old. You've spent your whole life in search of knowledge like this. Don't you want to find out the truth? Was Prin really a keeper of mystic secrets or just another loon burned at the stake for his madness?
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Hot dog!
I'll start here with the chapter on familiars. Sublimi vortice coronatus, mediaque in vilmut quorum latara, agare ligna fratat passi in selva cat castro, veteri majorum meurum quiudat in secula, super excelso suspera bura.
I can feel something happening. It's like the air is buzzing.
Linea plus linea miorbius.
What was that? Okay, Randolph, maybe you were right. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
We can't turn back now. The gate is open.
It's so cool. And that light, where is it coming from? It's like a window into... where is that? There's something trying to make its way through. Randolph, for the love of God, cast this thing back! That sound! What is it doing to you? Dark Star you crawled from! Burn, demon! Burn!
Fire!
That's
fire!
It's on fire!
Somebody call the fire department!
There's a man coming out of the house!
Are you alright, son? Where are you going? The firemen are on their way!
Wait!
Wait!
The Journal of Robert Blake, October 1st, 1933. I stumbled for hours through those twisted streets and quaked with renewed and idiotic laughter as I looked up and the burning and ever-gloating stars eyed me furtively. The fire on the hill was visible for many hours as I wandered in a daze. Was it all some illusion? In that lamplight, I had seen Randolph's features contort into a grimace of insane agony. His body rose unsupported from the floor. Mid-air, eyes glazed, his hands clutching convulsively at the thing. The book. The book. I could almost swear Prynne's writings had vanished before my eyes. But I can't be sure. I can't be sure. Those final moments are a blur of horrid memory. Randolph Carter's sagging body, dangling in space, had bent backwards, his body thinning, draining its fluids into a husk before my eyes. The thing was also there, grotesque, bloated, and obscene, lurking in the shadows, a headless, faceless, eyeless bulk. That starborn monster haunts my dreams. I do not know if the fire cleansed that beast from our realm, but the immolation of that grand Georgian home succeeded in erasing all trace of our folly. After a long while, I became calm enough to board a train, calm throughout the entire journey back to Wisconsin. But the security found in the blanket of one's own home eludes me now. At night, when the stars gleam, the visions return. I seek refuge now in the arms of opiates, in a vain attempt to ban those leering memories from my sleep. But after these long months, I really do not care anymore. For I shall not be here long. I have the curious suspicion that I shall again see that shambler from the stars. I know that when it comes, it will seek me out and carry me down into the darkness that holds my friend. I almost yearn for that day,
for then I shall learn, once and for all, the mysteries of the worm. I hope you enjoyed this presentation of Shambler from the Stars. It was written, produced, and edited by me, your host, Jonathan Pezza. Our cast included the voices of Matt Hoban, Jeremy Pezza, and Catherine Muse. The score was written by Gustav Holst as part of his Planet Suite and was performed by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. Shambler from the Stars is a work in the public domain and was produced in accordance with U.S. copyright law. If you have a suggestion for future episodes, or you just have a question or feedback about the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. The email is jonathan@curiousmatterpodcast.com. And check us out online for more information at www.curiousmatterpodcast.com. Here on Curious Matter, we dedicate each of these episodes to a used bookstore. In this highly curated media world, used bookstores are one of the last places where you can walk in and have that serendipitous and magical experience of discovery. Because no matter who you are and what you love to read, that perfect book is sitting on one of those shelves waiting there just for you. So this episode goes out to the $10 or less bookstore in Northridge, California, and to the Door Writers Group that meets there. You can find them online at 10-dollar-bookstore.com, or better yet, if you live nearby, go for a visit and buy a book. But wait, there's more. Did you know Shambler from the Stars has a sequel? Coming up in 2 weeks on the next episode of Curious Matter, Robert Blake's adventures continue in H.P. Lovecraft's Haunter in the Dark. So make sure to subscribe today, and thank you for listening.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
You wake up startled in the middle of the night, convinced that there's something out there in the darkness. Your brain tells you that there's nothing to be afraid of, that the inhuman shape in the corner of your room is just your laundry piled on a chair. But as you hear the ghostly, ragged breathing that doesn't belong to you, you realize your brain is dead wrong. If you love the mix of horror, mystery, and comedy in shows like Buffy, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, or Supernatural, you'll feel right at home on The Crit Show, a Monster of the Week actual play podcast where the players, playing as themselves, are tasked with being the last line of defense from the forces of evil that go bump in the night. Join us every Wednesday and learn the games we play while the gang tries their best to solve the mysteries, hunt the monsters, and protect the innocent. Their intentions are good. Their dice rolls, not so much. You can find The Crit Show at thecritshowpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And that's this week's show. Is this why the forest is getting darker?
Yeah, according to the sonic screwdriver, the forest leads us into the mystery program.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, who play The Call of Cthulhu?
Yikes, is this an active play?
Not exactly. He's trying to slip between with an audio drama based on an active play.
Sneaky.
Yeah, but not sneaky enough to hide his trace signature.
Who is Mr. Crow, anyway? You never told me.
And we'll have to wait until next week for that. For now, be sure to check out the show notes for this week at sonicsociety.org for our features, and we'll make our way through these woods. Until then, I'm David Ault.
And I'm Jack Ward. These pastiches feel like King Feature Weekly comics at this point.
Well, yes, they do have just a few frames of plot each week. We'll be right back.
This has been a Sonic Cinema production.